listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we are at the LWML convention in Omaha, Nebraska, and we get to share some stories of some of the people we get to visit with here in Omaha. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine by visiting cui.edu. I'm excited to share the story because we get to sit face-to-face with our friends from Lutheran Heritage Foundation. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise is Executive Director for Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Lucky you to get my face in front here.
Well, I'm excited because it's nice when we have the chance to get to sit down face-to-face. And sometimes it's in the studio, sometimes it's when we're out in the field. Also joining us today, the Reverend Mark Moss. He serves with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. He's served in the Africa region. Also, I understand, served as a Bible translator in the past and missionary. Pastor Moss, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Looking forward to learning your story and how you became involved with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Let's start with that. Tell us what about the path that led up to you serving with Lutheran Heritage Foundation.
Well, after I was a Bible translation supervisor for LBT, I joined the U.S. Army as a chaplain. And during that time, I spent two tours of duty, 5 years in Germany, which is, of course, Lutherland for us. And spent a lot of time visiting Luther sites, and it just kind of really increased my appetite to know more about Reformation history and the confessions. And so then when I left the Army, later on down the road, I was called to duty on the board of directors for Lutheran Heritage Foundation when they had an opening as their mission associate, which is a full-time mission speaker. I applied and they accepted me, and that's how I got where I am today.
So what do you get to do with Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Basically, what I do is I cover the entire United States. I'm the full-time mission speaker, and we have a number of part-time mission speakers as well. And I travel around on Sundays and speak at churches about Lutheran Heritage Foundation, our mission, and our work. Mm-hmm. I'll go in, I'll preach a sermon for the pastor, and then I will teach during Bible study hour and, of course, bring a display table and promote the mission. We are a registered service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but, of course, we have to find our own funding.
Tell us about some of your recent work in Africa.
They let me go to Africa a while back with Reverend Dinku Bato. Let me out of my cage, and that was great. And so he had not really gone to West Africa yet. And I was familiar. I had worked for the Missouri Synod Office for International Missions recently in Ghana. I had taught in Nigeria, and then they had moved me to Sierra Leone to reopen the work there. And so I knew these countries, and Reverend Bato and I traveled together. And I would introduce him to key players, and he would have discussions, and we began relationship building in West Africa.
Mm-hmm. So what will happen with all of those relationships, the work that you and Dinku Bato have been doing?
Well, this now gives the leadership of Lutheran churches in these countries the connections they need, so they can come talk to us about what they need. They can talk about projects they want to do, books they want to translate, have printed and distributed to their churches.
Let's talk a little bit about the anniversary. I understand we've had an anniversary in Africa. Tell us about that.
Yes, we had a 25th anniversary of Lutheran Heritage Foundation working in Africa, primarily in Nairobi right now, because we do have an office there, but also, of course, in South Sudan, where we kind of work a seminary. And one of the great things we've been able to do the last few years is to forge a closer relationship with Pastor Shawin Trump in the Office of International Mission, including kind of sharing a missionary, Reverend Tuomo Simeoki. Tuomo's father worked with our Pastor Robert Ron, who is the founder of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, some 25 years ago. And his father was Reverend Dr. Ansi Simeoki. So Tuomo grew up actually in Kenya. So he grew up with a little Swahili and Finnish, of course, as well. And now he has his entire family. I think that includes about 8 kids and his wife, Lana, who are doing really great work for us because our director for Africa, Dinku Bato, is based in the Twin Cities. And of course, Dinku will come. Africa's a big continent.
Yes.
An increasingly Lutheran continent, as you probably are aware. So, Dinku also works with so many diaspora African groups in the United States. So, it's just too much for one person to handle. And so Tuomo's been really helpful there in forging these relationships. So we had our annual board meeting, and it was just a great opportunity. You're getting pastors and bishops from close to 20 countries to come together and just celebrate the early years where the mission was founded and forged. And in particular to remembering Andrew Elisa, who was the first bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of South Sudan, and now, of course, that is a partner church as of the last LCMS convention. Mm-hmm. So, we've been able to do great work now with the current Bishop Peter Anabadi over these last 25 years. And our Robert Ron, our founder, went because they did name the library after him. I mean, this is one of the kind of the wedges. Okay, how do we get this 89-year-old man over? I said, well, this 89-year-old man runs circles around all of us. and going on 90 in January, so we'll have a big celebration for that. But it was just a great opportunity to highlight and share the work. When I do presentations, I'm always telling people that I used to know all the languages that we did in catechisms, but through Tuomo's work and Dinku's work, I can't keep up more. I mean, I think Ethiopia, we're close to 12 some languages.
Oh,
of course, they have hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah,
sure.
And it, within Kenya itself, Kisi, Luo, all these different languages. Luluguli, I think, is one. I tell the ladies when I do LWML rallies, I'm sorry, I can't keep track of them all. But that's a good thing, because the Lord knows all those languages and he knows all those people. And so to be able to get Lutheran documents like the Catechism, children's Bible storybooks, into the native tongue of a lot of those people there, I think is really helpful.
Yeah, you've been there for 25 years now in Africa.
Yeah, with a kind of an official Lutheran Heritage Foundation in Africa, because we've been there a little longer,
sure,
too.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
But this was like the 25th anniversary of having a board and, overseeing a lot of the work and, trying to get the input from African church leaders, because ultimately it's their mission.
Right.
We'll have our American presumptions. We don't know. Mark knows this better than I could probably tell you, having been in Africa and worked in Africa so long. That, we have to understand that it's their mission there, too. I mean, obviously, we want to make sure that the gospel is rightly proclaimed and sacraments properly distributed. But ultimately, they're going to know how best to convey those essential truths of a Lutheran interpretation of Christianity to Africans.
Sure. How has the work changed, evolved over the years of being in Africa for so long? Just knowing more, learning more, meeting more people. Tell us how it's expanded and grown and evolved over the last 25 years.
Maybe Mark can.
Well, when I got there in 1990 working for Lutheran Bible Translators, it was more hands-on. The translation supervisor, as we call him now, was really the translator, or did more translation work. He was more involved in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today, the education level has improved in many African countries. And our theological education programs through the Missouri Synod have helped train better translators and pastors. So now we step back a little more, and they run the projects more, and they're more of the key players now. We're more of an advisory than we were, I'd say, 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm. How would you say your past experience has served you now serving with Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Well, first of all, it gives me a story to tell.
Yeah.
And when people come to our display table here, I have books that I've actually used, and sometimes even as a parish pastor back in the States with immigrant populations. And I can tell them how I use these products that we produce and how they're working. And we call them Bible books.
Mm-hmm.
We are at the LWML convention in Omaha, Nebraska, talking with our friends from Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We'll continue the conversation on the Coffee Hour in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Concordia University System is comprised of 5 universities of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Located across the United States, the universities offer more than 160 undergraduate and 50 graduate programs and approach learning from a Lutheran context with the goal of developing Christian leaders for the church, community, and the world. Learn more about your Concordia University System at cus.edu. The Concordia University System, education built on God's Word. cus.edu.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are with friends from Lutheran Heritage Foundation visiting at the LWML convention in Omaha, Nebraska today. We've been talking about some of the current things happening with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We've caught up on some of the work of the Reverend Mark Moss, serving recently in Africa, teaching there for a while, and now serving here stateside, mostly with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the 25th anniversary of Africa. And now let's talk a little bit about some of the work in Germany, I believe, Book of Concord?
Yes, yes. Before I do that, can I kind of mention one thing?
Because sure.
Mark brought up a good point, and you did. One of the things I think I'm proudest of is at Lutheran Heritage, we have Ted Nottelong, we have Dinku Bato, we have Mark Moss, we have myself, and we've all used our books.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us before we actually were gainfully employed by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. I used to use the Book of Concord teaching my pastoral candidates in Russia. And so, like I say, I always say, before they named me the director, I was using their books. Mm-hmm. And Ted and Dinku and Mark as well. So, yeah, now let's get over to Germany. We're working pretty closely with the missionary Christian Taves and many people of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany. And of course, they have large numbers of Iranians and Afghans populating their congregations, even in the west half. I would say, though, predominantly in the eastern half of Germany. So I often tell people that on any given Sunday, you might find more Iranians and Afghans in some of these, not evangelical, of course, they're sparsely populated, but these Lutheran churches with whom we are affiliated, you'll find more of them than you'll find native Germans in those congregations. And so they've had to really begin to think, now, next generation, they're going to be there for a while. We're all watching closely what's happening in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them, of course, are aware from family that if they are public in any condemnation of the mullahs and the government in Iran, that can reflect now and also result in persecution of their own parents and family members.
Mm.
So this is a real issue for them. So they're, you know, it's a long process for them. Many of them, even as they are in Germany, have to deal with discrimination from native Germans. And to see people like Kim Boltman, Hugo Gevers, you know, our missionaries over there in the eastern half who will often help them with documents because their German is halting. And they just do incredible work. And the people then begin to ask those questions. Why would you do this for me? Nobody's helping me. Nobody does anything for me. It's a great Christian witness in Leipzig and many other areas throughout Germany. So working with Christian, they've completed a translation of the Augsburg Confession. And Dr. David Preuss, he and I both got our PhDs in the same night under Dr. Robert Rosine. So I know David Preuss. And he mentioned to me that we really want to work on Books of Concord for Europe itself. They're kind of targeting about 21 languages. Well, I know we have Russian, we have Latvian, and Lithuanian Book of Concord, we're hopeful, is going to be completed this year. But Europe's a big continent, so, Farsi for Iranians, hopefully, in the future. These are some of the options that we have and are hopeful to be able to continue to explore, especially since the Eurasian mission now is based in Romanian Brasov there. Mm-hmm. And I've been up there and stayed with Soren Horia Trifa and his family there in Florentina and the whole family. Now his son is a vicar there.
Right.
So these are people who are working in these languages, in Italian, in Greek, like missionary Tyler McMiller. So we're exploring how we can do this. It'll be long term, but it's something that we're hopeful as we kind of once again restore that Lutheran confession and witness to Europe, which has, of course, really fallen by the wayside among so-called Lutheran churches, which don't call themselves Lutheran anymore, just evangelical.
Sure, yeah. Where does the Augsburg Confession in Farsi, how does that fit into other resources that have been going on in Farsi and in Germany?
That's a good point, Sarah. Thank you. You're reminding me of my talking
point.
A lot of the things that we started with started with the small catechism, and we had one of the Iranians design a cover of the sower, which was really important, showing the seed being sown among all these different people groups, and certainly among their own people. The Luther's small catechism was the first thing that we did, and then the Child's Garden of Bible Stories. And these are always intriguing things because I know one of the parishioners who is actually quite well educated would often say, what's this about Isaac being Abraham's son instead of Ishmael?
Oh, yeah.
And so you have actually people who are now calling themselves confessing Christians, but they don't really know the Bible very well. And so you have a children's Bible storybook to kind of once again say, okay, as you read this to your children, maybe you better kind of brush up on some of that Bible history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are all beneficial. And then, of course, we have the gospel tract, Jesus Never Fails, which our founder, Robert Ron, wrote. And so those are other opportunities where we have been able to assist the churches. I know with Dr. Gottfried Martens in Berlin Steglitz, I've been in his congregation many times and was there happily as they distributed the small catechism to people. And one of the neat things was, since I can do German, I was, you know, just taking the subway myself and going back, and I saw one of the guys who came from out of the church was reading it there.
Oh,
and I thought, I should take a picture of this. But it's in my memory banks.
Yeah.
That's great.
I remember that.
You've mentioned some missionaries from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that LHF gets to work alongside. Tell us a little bit more about partnering with missionaries serving all around the globe.
Well, whether it be Africa, Asia, South America, and or what they call Eurasia, mm-hmm. which basically extends from Iceland all the way to Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I know. And my colleague, Ted Natalung, will always tell me, okay, India, Mongolia, all these places, Pakistan, that's all yours. I said, well, wait a minute. Aren't you Asia? how are you redefining Asia? So, but the really neat thing is that we are happy to work with the Office of International Mission. Perhaps, you know, Mark, of course, being a former missionary myself, it used to be LCMS World Mission when I was there. And before I left it, it switched over to the Office of International Mission. So I saw the importance of what Lutheran Heritage Foundation could do for us on the mission field in whatever we're doing, whether we're doing church planting, whether we're doing teaching in a seminary or whatever that might be. It's a great opportunity to kind of forge these bonds. And when we do that, I mean, one of the things I really appreciate is because I just say, you tell me what you need. Mm-hmm. It's different for every field.
Yeah.
There are different emphases, maybe baptism in particular for maybe India, for example. So what do you need? What kind of book do you need? Because you're there, I'm not. So, you know, we will deflect to you and allow you to tell us what is going to help your mission most.
Sure. What else is going on in other regions? Work in England?
Yes, well, talking about the Simeoki family, Pastor Tappany Simeoki, yes, of that same family.
Yeah,
they didn't all have T's in their name, as far as I know, Tappany and Tuomo. But Tappany has been a really neat resource. So my wife and I had the opportunity to go last year and visit the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, and she had a couple uncles living up in northern England,
oh, cool.
in a place called Penrith in the Lake District. So we got to see her uncles, which she hadn't seen since high school, which was kind of neat. But when we were there, it was kind of a sad conversation at first because Tappany told me, he said, we've got, you know, maybe 25, 30 people coming to our congregation. We rent a room in a building, and Christianity is just dying. And that's just the way it is. And so, I mean, despite that, he's not so forlorn that he's given up because he says, you know, there are pockets of people who are interested. I mean, we're finding them. Latvians, Armenian mm-hmm. lady. We spoke a little Russian with her in his congregation. So he is reaching out to many other people and now has established this charitable institution called the Lutheran Book Company. So they're hopeful to have, you know, maybe a positive impact on English speakers within England, but also Europe, because, you know, of course, the Higher Things group, there's a similar organization called Corpus Christi conferences in Europe, and Tappany is one of the movers and shakers of that. And so as you gather that youth group, all those youth groups from throughout Europe, what's their lingua franca? It's English.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to have some of these confessional documents in English, they're available for them to read and discuss. It's great. I mean, I just recall the way we designed the Russian version of Freedom of a Christian. It was a youth with their hands in the air and shackles, handcuffs falling off the person. Mm. So
I want to go back to Africa, Pastor Moss, and your time teaching there. Who are some of the people that you got to meet and serve alongside while you were teaching?
Well, I was teaching there as a Reverend Dr. Nicholas Salafu, who's in the northeast of Ghana. And in fact, he has his doctorate degree from our St. Louis Seminary, and we know him quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was teaching there for the Office of International Missions doing theological education, my teammate was Dale Castor, who continues to serve OIM. I believe he's in Prague right now. And so I got to know Dale, and we've been friends since then. I got to meet Nicholas and talk to him, and he was always a good person to bounce ideas off of and to discuss things with. He understood our culture, and of course he understood the culture he was in. He was from the Kusaw language group. And so it was an honor to meet him. He is a pillar in the church over there, in the church, the Ghanaian Lutheran Church, that is now, I believe, our partner church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lutheran Church of Ghana.
Yeah. What's the future? What's some of the next things happening in the Africa region? You've been there a long time now. What are some of the things coming up?
Well, one of the really neat things that Dr. Dinku Bato shared with me is they're beginning to kind of move north into some areas like Mali and Chad, which are very Muslim. Mali in particular, I know, had something akin to a type of Boko Haram group there, which was almost taking the people back to the Stone Ages. Of course, this is where you have the fabled city of Timbuktu, the one that my parents always threatened to send me to just behave. You know, now, of course, then I realize, oh, Timbuktu is in Mali. And so he told me, he says, we're starting to look into places like that, Egypt as well.
Yeah.
So, of course, the Lutheran Hour has been doing things through Sat7. So Dinku is really helping us expand, and Mark has helped us with West Africa to cover a lot of the continent, Angola now, as well as Namibia, which are just some of the other places.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could use this in your materials, the Word of God and Lutheran resources reaching as far as Timbuktu. I mean,
that's hey, marketing hey, right there.
You need a job?
No.
No.
Don't steal him from me.
That's a good suggestion. I'll think about that.
We've been at the LWML convention in Omaha, and the Lutheran Women in Mission are always very supportive of great work like Lutheran Heritage Foundation and KFUO Radio and so many other recognized service organizations of the LCMS, so many who want to bring God's word and great resources and services to people who desperately need it. Who have you been meeting here at the LWML convention? What are some of the highlights for you?
For me, it's just meeting with a lot of the ladies just from the norm, from the regular congregations. And because I have a really simple task. Our biggest sponsor is LWML. Be it a zone rally, be it a LWML group from a local church, from a district, you name it, and the national LWML, just being able to say thank you. I mean, to me, that's a real joy. And so when I get to see a lot of these ladies, some whom I've seen before, others who I haven't seen the first time, I just always want to take that moment and just say, thank you. You can't imagine how much you help us. And they said, well, I can't go. And I said, yes, not a lot of us can go to Timbuktu, for example, but you can help support that. And they have been such great supporters. So, I mean, to me, this is just a great joy. It's an opportunity to really say thank you for all that they do for us.
Where are you guys off to next? I know travel is a part of both of you guys.
Mark's been on the road quite a bit.
Yeah. Where can people find you on the road?
I will be speaking quite a bit in Minnesota.
Okay.
And sometimes northern Iowa, sometimes the North Wisconsin district. I also have connections to the Seattle-Tacoma area. I used to be at Joint Base Lewis-McChord out there before I retired.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I've got a sister who lives in Atlanta, so I sometimes go down there and speak. My second son, who's in the Army, used to live in Richmond, Virginia, and I would go out and stay with him and, of course, be with my grandchildren. That was always good. And he has now moved to San Antonio, so guess where I'm going next?
I'm guessing you're headed to Texas.
I think so.
Very good.
How can we stay informed on the work that Lutheran Heritage Foundation is doing?
Well, you can go to our website at lhfmissions.org. So add that S, lhfmissions.org. And we just have a wonderful staff there, Jen Bagnell and her daughter, Anna Irwin, who have really updated, and Ann Horn also, who have really updated our website so that it is very functional and will give people ideas if they want to support a project. How far has that project been supported? Is it completed? Is it still needing funding? What we have, too, also, all those different things are listed there. So please visit the website. You can also see where speakers are going to be in the near future.
Great. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Heise. He serves with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much, Dr. Heise.
Thank you, Andy and Sarah.
And the Reverend Mark Moss. He also serves with Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.